Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jess. This is News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. You can find us in the app and you can join the conversation at 850-437-1620. And we love it when you join the conversation, especially today, because it is the Chamber Connection with my friend Todd Thompson. How are you?
I'm great, Jess. How was your weekend?
My weekend was actually really great.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
Good.
Friday kicked off well and didn't
stop.
Kept
on going.
I had to wake up this morning.
Yeah, and we're back. But we got a beautiful Chamber of Commerce weather day out there.
Absolutely.
Getting through the dog days of August like we always do. But we're going to be talking some economic development today with my good friend, a man who wears many hats in our community. And we'll talk about his most recent kind of segue into a new role, but today we have Rick Byers joining us. Rick, welcome to the Chamber Connection.
Good morning, Todd. It's great to be here. Always good to see you, my friend.
Always a pleasure. So yeah, as I was saying, you wear a lot of hats in our community. You're probably most known for working with Florida Power and Light. You're sporting your FPNL shirt today, but you recently moved into, I guess we say, a temporary position, yeah, working on economic development with Florida West. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Todd, absolutely. In my real day job, I work for Florida Power and Light. I'm the external affairs manager for this area. I've been with FPNL since the acquisition of Gulf Power and was with Gulf prior to that. So FPNL is a great company, but Brian Hilson, who was the CEO of Florida West, and I serve on the board there, had been with us for right at a year, and Brian had a medical situation with his wife's parents in Birmingham, and so it required Brian to move back to Birmingham and be with his wife to help her parents, which is absolutely the right thing to do. In the interim, David Baer, who is the chair of Florida West, approached me and said, Rick, would you consider being the interim CEO while we do a search, a national search for a new CEO? And I said, look, I have to speak to my employer, but FPNL was very gracious, being a very good community-minded company and a true believer in economic development, put me in a role as a loaned executive. I'm still working for FPNL, still have some of my duties with FPNL, but my primary focus through this transition with Florida West is to act as the CEO day-to-day. And so I physically sit at Florida West right now on Palo Fox Street, and you know, I am the interim CEO there. So, and the question is, how did I get that opportunity? It's from, I've been in the utility business for 36 years, and throughout my career, twice in the utility business, I served in an economic development role. So I did have a formal background in economic development, and I've had experience in economic development. So it was just kind of a nice transition for me to serve in that capacity so that we don't skip a beat to Florida West.
Yeah. So talk about Florida West. What's your role and what's your mission? People may not know, some of our listeners, exactly. Florida West, something that spun out of the chamber about 10 years ago to focus on economic development, but talk about really what you do day to day.
Right. Well, exactly. Florida West did spin out of the chamber when the chamber's divest itself of Visit Pensacola and economic development, and then the chamber as it is today that Todd, you run, is there. And then Florida West is the economic development agency for Escambia County. It is funded. It's a public-private partnership. It is funded by public dollars from the county. It's funded by city dollars as well. And then it has private investors such as Florida Power and Light and other companies that invest in it. So it's a true public-private partnership. Its mission is, basically, it is to grow new jobs, retain jobs, and also to create new investment in Escambia County. And when we talk about what we do. We do economic development through the whole spectrum, which is we are very much involved in the entrepreneurial space with CoLab. We operate CoLab, which is our entrepreneurial incubation center on Garden Street, and we've had a lot of companies come through there. We have about 8 companies in there now. We still have room for a few others, and companies are there, and they're helped as they begin to start up with anything from funding to product development to management, everything a small company would need to know. It's provided for them there, and they can stay as long as 4 years. We've had a lot of companies come out of there and be very successful. The most successful company most people know in Pensacola is Iris, was started at CoLab. So that's one aspect of what we do. The other aspect of what we do is a formal existing industry program where we call on our existing companies and we make sure that they're getting what they need to be successful, and it's Escambia County. We also work with them to, if they have expansion plans, to help them figure out what those are, work with them on any incentives, opportunities available. So growing our own, which is about 80% of all new job creation throughout the United States, occurs with existing companies. And then the other 20% is the traditional, as a lot of people call it, buffalo hunt. We're out actually calling on companies that have an interest in Escambia County. And so we work with them. We are a facilitator, and we work with them with the state, locals, to try to make their project come to fruition in Escambia County.
Yeah, so you mentioned projects. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, there's some stuff that has been ongoing and some other things that may be kind of in the old pipeline, as they like to say. And I know there's certain things you can and can't say, but can you kind of give us an update on some of the things that Florida West has been working on and some potential for our community?
Sure. Well, our pipeline, as you refer to it, are active companies, whether they're companies that are existing already and have expansion plans, or there are these new investments that I refer to. We have, and we categorize those in projects in different stages of their project life cycle. We currently have 32 active projects in our pipeline. Some are more active than others. Some of the big things that we're working on, if that's what you want me to kind of go into, we have a very strategic site in downtown Pensacola, which is referred to as Tech Park. It's been there for a long time. It came out of Florida West. It was a vision of Mr. Lewis Baer when he was alive, and it's there to create innovation projects, technology projects. So we have 2 active projects there that are doing extremely well. I'm very optimistic. We've owned this dirt for 14 years, so it's really time to do something, and I think those projects have high potential because of the success that IHMC has had recently, you know, its second facility, and all of the quality of life aspects that downtown Pensacola provides for that sector of employees. They want to be downtown. They want the shops, the restaurants. They want to walk to work or ride a bicycle to work. So that is going well. And then I guess the big thing that is in the news a lot is what's going on at Outlying Field 8. There's a lot of talk about it. We have, and this is public record, we have 3 active projects there in different stages. 2 of them are very close. I think there's a lot of misconception about what these projects are and what they're not, and I think once we get to the point where we can share more information with the public, people will maybe have a different point of view. I will say that these, the county did the swap over 20 years ago with business leaders, and yes, the dynamics have changed, but the county was always interested in job creation. And so they've reserved the north half, the 240 acres to the north, for light industrial clean manufacturing. And the companies that we are talking to do meet those criteria. The one that's, you know, that we're hearing a lot about is the Distribution Project. It's a very good company. It is not nearly what I think the public perceives it to be. There's some really good jobs there, you know, and then the second project are some really high paying jobs, and the third project has just as many. So we're working very diligently with these three companies. I feel very confident we will continue forward. I feel very confident that these projects are in line with the spirit of the plan, the master plan by DPZ, and that we can get these across the finish line. And then real quickly, you know, we have the Bluffs Industrial Park up where Ascend and the Gulf Clean Energy Center is, and it's our land for heavy industrial. These are not the types of companies that you would want to put in outlying Field 8. These are the types of companies that are heavy industrial, and we're saving that land and showing that land to companies that really have a serious heavy industrial infrastructure requirement, because that land has a Tier 1 rail line with CSX. It has plentiful natural gas. It has two gas transmission lines. It has abundant and robust electricity. It has ample reuse water. So that land we need to save for these heavy industrial customers. And then we're working with a large company that can't be in the Bluffs because of its location to a supplier, and we're working with them further north. So I would say our pipeline's very robust. I feel very confident that we're going to bring a few of these across the finish line during my short tenure.
Right. And I think one of the really important things that people need to know is that you've been involved with Florida West for a number of years.
Yes.
You know what is going on. So as you step into this role, you're just kind of you're just able to pick up the ball and keep running because you know what's going on. You're not having to learn the players and learn what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on the board for 6 years, and I've served as chairman. I truly believe in economic development, just personally and as a business leader. I mean, we have to grow our community. I mean, we need to grow our tax base. We need to create new and better jobs. And even jobs that don't pay as much initially, they are jobs for someone. So I think our perspective sometimes gets a little out of perspective, but, you know, a job is a good thing for anyone. And so people can, we have another project in Midtown, and these jobs don't pay as much, but they're a good starting place for someone who's working their way up.
And that's what you need.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have those jobs where
Absolutely.
People can get the experience and move up and, you know, have a true career moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, you wear a number of hats. One of the hats you also wear is you were on the Greater Pensacola Chamber Board of Directors.
Yes.
And you head up our Economic Development Committee there. And we have, it's not so much a chamber organization, it's a community, business community organization called the Northwest Florida Business Alliance. Talk about that a little bit, and if people want to get engaged, what are those opportunities?
Yeah, well, I was really engaged in that and was 110% behind starting that organization up. I haven't been quite as engaged lately because, you know, I have two other jobs, but I am definitely a big supporter and definitely engaged in that organization. I sit on a committee, Todd, with you, Nicole Gieslawson, and Bruce Breedenberg, as well as another gentleman, to help bring ideas. This was started, the idea was conceived several years ago, and really when the chamber, before the chamber was split out in three ways, there was this committee called the Committee of 100, and it was a group of 100 business leaders that would get together once a month and exchange ideas. It was a collaboration on how do we move our county together four together. And so this is kind of a remake of that with a little different twist. And I think what we heard, Todd, as chamber board members was that our business leaders felt disconnected from the chamber, disconnected from the community, that there was no place for them really to engage and have a voice. And so, you know, we put together this organization or this committee that's under the Chamber Foundation. And our first meeting we held in the spring of this year, we had 130 people show up, which I thought was phenomenal turnout. I was hoping for 40. 130 showed up, and to date, we have how many members have joined?
We're close to 50 now.
50 members have joined, and several others have expressed interest. I think we'll easily get over 100. We're still in the early stages of, you know, what are the initiatives we want to work on, but I think we're headed in the right direction. I heard a big idea last Friday that I shared with you. Hopefully, the committee will take up as something we can wrap our arms around. We are not trying to be the economic development organizations. And I didn't say this. It is a two-county effort. It's business leaders of Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And I think a lot of people at first thought we are trying to be economic developers, but we're not. We have two really good economic development organizations, but we're trying to be that leadership, that voice, that strong voice at the table, to support economic development, to help economic development with the practitioners with their challenges, and to help us be more successful collectively. So, I mean, I think in a nutshell, that's kind of where we're headed. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. No, and you're exactly right. That's the same thing I've been hearing since I've been at this role at the Chambers. You know, that the business community lost that collective voice. And
yes.
We didn't get together and talk about these issues and how we can engage and how we could support economic development with our partners, with Florida West, with the city, the county, anybody who's involved with economic development. We want to be that support organization. Yes. That can be there to provide.
Right, yeah. Well, we're enthusiastic about it at Florida Power and Light. It's actually co-chaired by Dr. Martha Saunders, president of UWF, and Florida Power and Light's vice president and general manager for Northwest Florida, JT Young. And both of them are very enthusiastic, strong supporters of economic development, and are helping us frame out the mission and direction of where we're headed.
Yeah, I appreciate their leadership and very optimistic about what this organization can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we got a few minutes left, and your employer is Florida Power and Light, and just wanted to give you an opportunity to give us any updates from FPNL, anything we need to be prepared for with hurricane season, just anything you want to share there.
Well, we are always prepared at FPNL, and thank you for the opportunity to speak about FPNL. You know, we are storm ready. We train every year for storms. We do a mock storm run where we simulate a storm, and we all spend an entire week responding to that storm just like a real storm occurred. And so we say we're storm ready, and we are. What we encourage our customers and anyone is for them to be storm ready. Every storm's different. No two storms are the same. A strong storm, you can expect there to be power interruption. So you need to be prepared. For us, as a storm comes through, we let the storm come through. We pre-stage our crews close to where we expect the most impact to be so that we can respond as soon as it's safe. And that's the main thing people have to realize for us. I mean, the wind has to be below 35 miles an hour. It's not safe to fly the buckets. The guys that are actually up, when the wind is blowing any faster than that, it can blow them into the lines and create all types of safety hazards. But the first thing we do after the storm, we assess the damage, and we're really good at that. We do it through drones, through lots of technology. And once we have a total assessment of the damage, the storm restoration plan is prepared, and the crews go to work. And you have to remember, the crews go to work. It's kind of like a human body. We start with the heart and work our way out throughout the body. So people want to know why we're not in their neighborhood. It does no good to be in someone's neighborhood if the feeder lines, the main lines that are supplying power on the streets are down, because we can have your neighborhood fixed, but we have no way to bring the blood to you. So that is the plan, and, you know, we're always ready for the storm. The other thing is, you know, our company, we march by three things. We want to clean up the environment, and we're doing that every day by reducing our carbon footprint. We have an initiative to be carbon free, not net zero, but carbon free by 2045. We're well on our way. We're strong believers in renewable energy through wind and solar, as well as we're working with hydrogen to get us there. So it's that, cleaning up the environment. It's also about reliability. When you come home and you flip the switch, you expect the lights to come on. And so we expect the lights to come on. So it's what can we do so that we meet the customer's expectation. And then it's trying to drive cost out of the business so our product can be affordable for our customers. We're very aware of that. So we get up around the, and march around, as I call it, those three core missions every day. That's been instilled in me since January 1, 2019, when I crossed over the line, as I called it, at midnight from Gulf Power to FPNL. And FPNL works very hard every day to win the respect and loyalty of our customers.
Well, and I'll just say, you know, from the chamber perspective, you know, Florida Power and Light's a great supporter of not only the chamber, but so many events in our community and organizations that do a lot of great work. So you're one of those pillars that is there all the time supporting folks throughout the year. You know, I mean, obviously when hurricanes happen, you know, and I remember driving by Pensacola State College in 2021 when Sally hit, and just seeing all of those trucks lined up ready to go, and it just gave me a sense of comfort knowing that y'all were staged and ready, and you know, as soon as it was safe, like you were saying, y'all hit it and got it done really quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to great partners like Dr. Ed Meadows, I called him at midnight one night and asked him, could we use this parking lot? And Dr. Meadows, also being a true community partner, said, absolutely, anything you need, Rick. And matter of fact, during that storm, we slept people in the YMCA downtown. So we have great community partners. We're going to always invest in the communities that we work in, we live in, and that we play in. So it's our great honor to do that and give back.
Yeah, so awesome. So again, Rick Byers, interim CEO at yes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance, but full-time job with Florida Power and Light, yeah. Chamber board member, see him throughout the community, just a great guy and a big supporter of our community. So Rick, thank you so much for being on the Chamber Connected.
Todd, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you both. And I just want to let you know, Todd, Janet says she listened to you last week. She's a fan. And she also wants to make sure everyone knows that September 1st is Quayside Art Gallery is open to the public for free food, wine, reception, and new artists.
All right, there you go.
Thank you both for coming in.